had there been any problems associated with Earth First with respect to any of those things prior to that time, prior to the time that agreement was made?
Yes.
And what problems had you experienced in that one?
When I first got involved in Earth First advocated sabotage to logging equipment or other equipment deemed to be destructive to the environment.
And you say Earth First advocated it. How did the advocacy affect itself?
Well, it affected its sayers at Earth First Journal, which is, although there's no national structure, there was this one newspaper that reported on the activities of all the local groups. And it wasn't answerable to the local groups, but it just reported in that newspaper, advocated sabotage, also tree spiking.
What is tree spiking?
Tree spiking is driving metal, large metal nails into trees in the hopes of preventing them from being cut.
How does it work? How does it prevent them from being cut?
It doesn't.
What's the hope of preventing them from being cut?
The hope of it preventing it being cut is that they will... The timber companies will fear damaging their equipment, and so they'll leave the tree standing.
So does how is the timber company notified that the spikes are in the tree?
Well, as to how is this advocated? Also, there's a book that was written by Dave Foreman, who was one of the founders of Earth First, and that book is called Eco Defense. And in it, Dave Foreman advocated tree spiking and other forms of sabotage, which he described how to do. Okay, in that book, there's a chapter on tree spiking. And in the tree spiking chapter, he claims that it's an effective way to stop trees from being cut. And he says that trees that are spiked should have a S painted on them or some such notice, and that a notification should be sent to the timber company.
And was there a debate inside the Redwood Summer group about tree spiking?
Well, not so much in the Redwood Summer group. We had all agreed that we were against it, but there was certainly a debate in Earth First.
At the same time?
Yes.
And so it was, you mean, just like pro and con?
Yes.
Action? And was there a debate within the local group of Earth First that you were part of?
If there was, they were afraid to say it to me.
And so what, it's been said that Earth First has associated with tree spiking and by way of a reputation. Are you aware of it having that reputation?
Very much so.
And what was your concern with that reputation in connection with Redwood Summer when it was started?
Well, I had two objections. First, I felt that tree spiking was immoral and did not fall under any kind of nonviolence code, and I felt that it targeted the timber workers with whom we were building alliances, so I felt it undermined our work and it didn't fall within the moral standards that I thought that we should uphold.
And did the local Earth First group take any steps to dissociate itself from tree spiking?
Yes, we publicly renounced it.
When did that happen?
April 11th, 1990. It actually happened in March at a conference in Oregon, and I was on a panel with on labor coalitions, and a mill worker who was on the panel publicly challenged me to explain how it was okay to spike trees, and I publicly stood up in front of a national audience and said it's not, and I renounce it. And at that point, the Earth Firsters at the conference, which were mostly from Oregon and California, met immediately afterwards and decided to renounce tree spiking. But it wasn't until April 11th that we got our statement drawn up and signed by enough different organizers from different regions that it would seem to represent the group.
Mm-hmm. And then what happened on April 11th?
We held a press conference, two simultaneous press conferences, one in Southern Oregon and one in Northern California. And we renounced we each had our own statement. Southern Oregon wrote theirs, and we wrote ours. And we publicly renounced the practice of tree spiking, not just for Redwood Summer, but for all time.
And what about other forms of sabotage? Was there a similar renunciation?
Not a public renunciation. There was a debate within the group as to that, even within the Redwood Summer Group, but no equipment sabotage was understood to be part of the nonviolence code for Redwood Summer. As to whether it was renounced for all time, it took us a little longer to get to that point, and there was debate.
Was the word about that there would be no equipment sabotage in Redwood Summer also put out publicly?
Yes, it was in the nonviolence code explicitly.
What was the plan for as to when the actual Redwood Summer would begin and end? What was the scope of it or the course of it planned to be?
This decision was actually made the night before the bombing at the Berkeley meeting, and we decided that the first demonstration would be on the summer solstice and that the last demonstration would be on Labor Day.
Okay, and you mentioned, I think, four meetings, which Berkeley was the fourth, is that correct?
That's right.
These were the organizing meetings for the event.
There was also a meeting in Garberville and another meeting in Ukiah. You had asked me which one Seeds of Peace were at, so there were also others before Seeds of Peace joined.
Did you attend the meeting in Berkeley?
Yes.
That was on May 23rd, 1990?
Yes.
And did you come there from with other people? I'm sorry.
Yes.
And who did you go to the Berkeley meeting with?
I traveled with Utah Phillips.
And did some other contingent come from up here that you were part of?
Well, we caravanned with Dakota Sid and Joanna Robinson. Daryl Cherney had come down separately. Some other of the local organizers, I don't know all of who was there. I can't remember all of who was there. But there were other local organizers, but they didn't travel with me.
Had you been at another meeting the night before that in Willits?
I'm trying to remember if it was the night before. There was a meeting in Willits. It may have been two nights before. Let me think about it. No, yes, it was the night before. There was a meeting in Willits.
And were the same people that you mentioned a moment ago were at that meeting, too?
Well, Utah Phillips, Dakota Sid, and Joanna Robinson were there. Daryl Cherney was not.
Okay. What was the purpose of that meeting in Willits?
We were trying to meet with the loggers and the log company owners, the small company owners, not the big corporations, so that we could work out peaceful relationships with them. We were being publicly threatened, and we're trying to establish a rapport and make them understand that we weren't going to sabotage their equipment or try to direct our protest against them.
What public threats had occurred that you were... had direct knowledge of?
What immediately precipitated that meeting was a Board of Supervisors meeting in the beginning of May in which some of the log company, local log company owners, had stood up and publicly threatened us at the meeting. I and other organizers, but I had gotten the most of them, had received a series of written death threats. There were also phone threats. There were also people who walked up to us on the street and threatened us. Or to some of us, I'll be more specific, I know both me and Daryl had that experience.
Were the threats against Earth First or against Redwood Summer brought to the attention of the Mendocino County Board of Supervisors?
Yes.
By what means?
The meeting that I just referred to in the early part of May, I was actually asked by the Board of Supervisors to come to the meeting to explain what was going to happen in Redwood Summer. And I brought the threats to the meeting. I displayed them and talked about them in front of the Board of Supervisors.
Were they brought to the attention of the Mendocino County Sheriff's Department?
Yes.
We marked several documents as exhibits. I'm going to show you what's been marked document 2A and ask you to tell us what that is. Go ahead. Did you receive this document?
Yes.
And how did you receive it?
It was addressed to me, care of the Mendocino Environmental Center, It came in an envelope. The top piece is the envelope, and the bottom was a piece of paper that was inside the envelope.
Okay, so this is a copy of the actual object that came in the mail?
Yes.
And when did it come?
Well, it came in early April. I don't know the exact date, but the postmark was April 10th, so... But I do remember that it was early April.
And was it brought to your attention right at that time?
I picked up my mail every day, so I myself opened it and discovered that it wasn't opened by anybody but me initially.
And did you take any particular action as a result of receiving this item in the mail?
No, I just told people about it, but I didn't take any action at this point.
Okay. And looking at what is to be the item that you mentioned before that has the ribbon stapled to it, what is that?
This was a document that was also sent to the Environmental Center.
You received it from Betty Ball, is that correct?
I received it from Betty Ball, yes.
Okay. What is the ribbon?
The yellow ribbon was the symbol of the timber industry, of the pro-timber groups.
And how do you know that?
It was very widely used.
In what ways was it used that made you understand it to be their symbol?
Well, they had leaflets. They had something called the Yellow Ribbon Coalition that had leaflets advocating for the timber company's positions. They sent these, I don't know if I can say this, how I can say this from direct knowledge. They appeared on, okay, I got it. They appeared on antennas of log trucks of pro-timber people who I knew, and were displayed in rallies by pro-timber people that I witnessed.
Okay, and do you understand the photograph in that picture to represent yourself?
Yes.
And had you seen that photograph prior to seeing it in that form with the circle drawn over it and the cross?
Yes.
I'm showing you now what's marked Exhibit 2C, which appears to be a Xerox copy of a news clipping.
Yes.
And it has that same picture?
That's right.
Did you understand that at the strike? Is that the same picture to your knowledge?
Yes.
When did the article appear?
On April 3rd, 1990.
And what is the article about, without reading the whole thing briefly?
It was about a Board of Supervisors meeting at which Earth First and currently employed loggers and mill workers appeared together to denounce the timber companies and ask for the county to use their power of eminent domain to seize the timber companies' properties so that we could assure sustained jobs and trees.
Were you at such a meeting at the county board?
Yes.
And when did that meeting take place?
The same day, on April 3rd.
And did you participate in the meeting? Did you speak to the body?
Yes.
And on what subject did you speak?
That I just described, on the timber company's abuses. I read a list of abuses and recommended eminent domain seizure.
And were you speaking on behalf of Earth First then?
I was wearing an Earth First shirt.
Had there been an incident in which you were hit by a truck?
Yes.
And when did that occur?
August of 1989.
And what happened in that?
Same objection.
I was traveling to a well-publicized demonstration as part of National Tree Sit Week, which I referred to earlier. And I had my children in my car and several of my friends, and we were rear-ended by a log truck that we had blockaded the very day before, driven by the same truck, the same driver. And that's it. Yes.
And what happened in the rear-ending?
The truck rammed me. I didn't hear them hit the brakes. I believe they just rammed me full force. My car flew through the air, hit another car, accordioned, and all of us in the car ended up in hospital with relatively minor whiplash injuries.
showing you the documents which we marked 3A through J. Tell us how you came into possession of those documents.
The first one, that's the Mendocino Environmental Center on the front of it, was mailed to the Mendocino Environmental Center, who provided me with a copy.
Is it true that all of these documents were given to you by other people?
Let me look first. Yes.
And were they...
Oh, I'm sorry, with one exception.
Which is that?
This was also mailed to me.
And that's the one that's headed Stompers?
Yes.
So you received a copy of that in the mail yourself?
Yes.
Okay. And were the other documents that are there in Exhibit 3 all... were you aware of the existence of those documents in the period of Redwood Summer prior to the bombing?
Yes.
Did you have copies of any of these documents that are marked Exhibit 2 and Exhibit 3 in your possession at the time you were bombed?
Yes.
And would that be all of these?
No.
How many or what percentage?
Let me think about it for a minute. Approximately six.
Six of these
of
items?
Of these items, yes.
And did they include the one with the rifle scope drawn over the picture of you, which is 2B?
Yes.
And did they include the one that says, Judy Berry, get out and go back where you came from, we know everything, you won't get a second warning, which is Mark 2A?
Yes.
And did they include the one that begins, Dear Judy, it has come to our attention that you are an Earth First lesbian whose favorite pastime is to eat box lunches in pajamas?
I'm going to object.
Yes.
Which has been marked Exhibit 2D?
Yes.
Okay. And did they include that one that's headed Stompers?
Yes.
And
which one is that, counsel?
Oh, that's...
3I.
3I, and the witness already indicated that it also should be in Exhibit 2 because she received it herself. Where were they? How were you carrying them at the time you were bombed?
They were in a folder that was labeled Threats and Fate.
And when you say... Strike it. Are the documents that we've been talking about what you refer to as threats?
Yes.
And what were the quote-unquote fakes?
Should I enter the documents? And then we'll talk about
it? First, tell us what they were.
Okay. There were several fake press releases that were designed to look as if they came from Earth First, but in fact were not written by Earth First, that were sent to the press and distributed in our communities, and those were fakes.
At what period did they come to light?
April 1990.
Can we see them?
Yes. I think it was April. It may have been early May, but I think they were all April. There's actually three. I don't remember if the third one was in my car, though. But there were three fakes, not just two.
And we'll go to the one that's been marked 4B.
Okay.
And that was in your possession or was not at the time?
It was in my possession.
And what is it?
It's a document that appears to be from Earth First. It has our logo. It also says it refers to for donations sent to Daryl Cherney, and it also refers to me. However, Daryl Cherney's name is spelled wrong, and I'm listed as living in the wrong town.
And when had that first come into your possession?
April 1990.
And in what circumstances did you obtain copies?
These were distributed to the local press.
And how did you come by a copy?
A reporter gave it to me.
And was there any inquiry made within Earth First about where it might have come from?
Well, not this one. Our names were spelled wrong.
Mm-hmm. So
we accept, we presume this was fake.
Did you take any steps to publicize the existence of a fake Earth First statement or leaflet or whatever that
was? Yes, we did.
And what did you do?
We spoke to the press about it and described why we believed it was fake.
Other than the press, were you aware of any other places where it had been left or distributed? Or?
Not at the time. I learned later.
Referring back to the Exhibit 4B, a document with Earth First at the top, Earth First name and logo at the top. It's just entitled Fight Back, Some Thoughts on Strategy. What did you do when you received this document?
We sent it to all the Earth Firsters that we knew who were involved in this. We discussed it among ourselves
in
Redwood Summer. I made copies of this and sent it to many Earth Firsters who were involved. I guess that's it. And there's no such group.
Any other reasons?
I also, yes, right, sleeping bag.
Concert?
Yes.
What was the concert going to be?
It was an organizing activity for Redwood Summer.
Where was it going to happen?
Sanford.
When?
That evening, May 24th, that evening.
Being the next day after the meeting at sea?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And was that a regular thing with you, playing music at organizing meetings or organizing concerts?
Yes.
Can you describe the program you had planned for Santa Cruz?
We had a slideshow about the Redwoods. We had songs prepared that Daryl and I were going to play and sing, guitar, fiddle, and singing. And I was going to give a speech.
What kind of songs were these?
They were songs that mostly Daryl, but also I had written about the struggle in the Redwoods. They were songs we wrote on the front lines or concerning the material, the organizing issues, the issues of the Redwoods, and things like that.
And what was your speech about?
The speech was also about the situation in the Redwoods, the overcutting, I was intending to talk about the violence that we had been encountering and our call for nonviolence in response, and I was going to end by calling for people to sign up to come on up. I guess I was going to explain what Redwood Summer was and why we were calling for people to come up and help us.
All the items that you mentioned, the instruments, the bag, the sleeping bag and stuff, when you took those out of the car, did you take those in the house there?
Yes.
And did you put them back in the car the next day?
Yes.
And do you recall doing that?
I recall doing it. Yeah, I don't think I loaded every single item, though. I think that somebody helped me. It may have been Daryl and it may have been Dave Chemnitzer, but somebody helped me load the items. I didn't do it by myself.
Do you recall where in the car they were loaded or where any of them were loaded?
We were only going for 5 minutes to somebody else's house, so I didn't bother to repack. I just threw things in. And I remember in particular that the instruments had been put in the back seat, just on the seat, which is something I didn't usually do, but because it was a 5-minute drive, I figured it was easier.
What did you usually do with the instruments?
I usually packed them in the back. It was a station wagon. I usually packed them in the back part of the station wagon so they would be secure for driving.
You testified that after the bombing, you went in the hospital. You were unconscious until I guess the second day or some early period. You woke and found the two officers
next to your bed. Do you recall that?
Yeah, but I have no idea how many hours a day it was.
Okay. And then there was a period, I think you said, that you didn't have a recollection of because you were on the pain medication. Is that right?
Not exactly accurate. I have vague memories. I drifted in and out of consciousness. But as far as like how much time elapsed between different events and the order of the different events, I'm hazy on, but I do remember the events when I would go into consciousness.
What's the first event you can remember from that period?
The first event is the two uniformed policemen at my bed.
And besides the police, the event where waking up and finding the officers there, and you described a visit from your parents and some other... and the visit from the lawyer, and the counsel is correct. Did there come a time when you were no longer groggy or in and out of consciousness, and your memory and your consciousness became clear, and your memories are more orderly? And when did that time start? Not by date, but
10 to 12 days after the bombing. It was early June.
What marked the change from the in and out of consciousness to clear consciousness?
I went off the morphine.
And at that time, did you get information about the status of the case?
Yes. I learned that I was still under arrest. That at first there were policemen guarding my door, but shortly, somewhere around that time, again, I'm a little hazy on exactly when, but somewhere around that early time when I began to be more conscious of what was going on, the policemen were removed from the door. I remember being very terrified that someone was going to come in and attack me.
There came a time when you had a companion in the room, is that correct?
I think that was what I was trying to get to, was that there was a constant flow of people in and out of the room who were giving me information. That was really, you know, a lot of the point of what I was saying.
There
were multiple people.
Did you also get newspapers during this period of time?
Yes.
Were there stories in the paper about your case?
Yes.
And the people that were visiting you, were they giving information about... did you get information from them about the case as well?
Yes.
And what was your understanding then? This is, we're talking, I guess, about a couple of weeks after the bombing, about the status of the case. You knew you were under arrest. You knew you were charged with what offenses? Did you know what offenses you were charged with?
Yes.
What were they?
Possession of explosives.
Anything else that you recall? Did you know anything besides possession? Was there anything besides possession?
I didn't know anything besides that I was... I knew that I was charged with transporting the bomb that had exploded in my car.
Okay.
If the word charges... I knew I had been arrested for. And I knew that the case was going to court to decide whether charges would be followed up on.
And what did you know what that decision was supposed to be based on or contingent on?
Well, I knew that there was a battle over the evidence, over whether we were allowed to see the evidence. I just knew that it had to do with physical evidence, and it had to do with claims that we were terrorists.
Did you recall, was there any... mention of the evidence going to a lab?
Not that I recall. There may have been.
You mentioned before that you knew there was a decision pending or a determination pending with respect to whether the case would go ahead. Is that correct?
Yes.
What was in your mind with respect to... I'm sorry. What did you understand with respect to the status of the case as we've described it?
I understood that there was an upcoming court hearing at which decisions as to whether to charge Daryl and I would be made by the court.
And did you know what that decision was going to be based on?
Other than the evidence, not in great specifics. I knew there was a question of the evidence. I knew there was a question about the car having been left out in the rain. I remember that one early on.
And did you know what the questions of the about the evidence were supposed to be?
I knew the question was whether or not Daryl and I knew the bomb was in the car.
Do you recall learning that your house had been searched?
Yes.
And when did you learn that?
In those early days.
Okay.
In which early days? After you regained the consciousness?
Yes.
So about 10 to 12 days afterwards?
Yes.
And did you, were you told any details about the search?
Yes.
And what were you told?
My ex-husband told me that the FBI and Oakland police had both arrived with the Mendocino County Sheriff and that they had torn the house apart and taken things away and that my children were upset that their room had been taken apart and their toys dismantled and things.
Now,